We're on a journey and we're heading toward the cross and we're looking forward to the resurrection. Amen. Yeah, wonderful time of the year. So we're going to talk today about living in the power of the Spirit. Some of you probably have heard, it's been around for a long time, that old Superman story, right? Where a space capsule lands on Earth. And Superman here is a small boy. He's raised by what family? The Kents, that's right. And they name him Clark, right. Yeah. When do you think they discovered his superhuman powers? What do you think? When do you think? Right away? Yeah. They obviously kept it a secret, right? Yeah. Because the real story, the episodes don't start until he's grown and now ready to help the world, right? Well, I want to talk to you today about some similarities and some key differences between the story of our Lord coming from heaven to earth. Huh? Like Superman, Jesus came from a different place, didn't he? Where did he come from? Where did he come from? From heaven, that's right. Yeah, Jesus is God. Yeah, with God from the beginning, the living Word. By Him, all things were made. But Jesus, in the fulfillment of time, was born man, but was also God, right? His eternal spirit was God, the Word. By him, all things were created. And the scriptures say he humbled himself and became man. Allowed the eternal spirit to implant in the womb of Mary. Without human seed, by the Holy Spirit, that which became man, a human baby. But here's a question for you. When do you think Mary recognized Jesus as God? When do you think that happened? Right away? Well, the word, obviously, that came to her about the miraculous birth would have given her the clue, right? Yeah. But he lived as a boy. And even though the scriptures aren't plentiful that tell us what his early childhood was like, I got a kick this week in Bible study on Wednesday night just thinking about the wedding at Cana, you remember? And how, as you recall the story, as they ran out of wine, his mother, Mary, looked at Jesus and simply said, "They've run out of wine," right? He knew, of course, exactly what she wanted him to do. So you get a clue that she certainly understood that this was no normal man, right? Yeah. And in fact, you know, all she says next is, you know, to the people that were there, "Do whatever he tells you to do." And it's kind of fun, isn't it, just to think about stories like that. And to understand, you know, what it must have been like raising the boy, the teenager, the man that was also God. Powerful stuff. But here's a key phrase that I wanted to really lay upon you as we dig into his word today. In the book of Philippians in the second chapter, it says clearly that Jesus laid aside his power as God, so that he could be humbled and become a man and be tempted in every way as we are, yet without sin. So you see, Jesus did not use his power as God to live the life that he lived upon the earth. Let that sink in. Let that sink in. You see, it was God's will that Jesus become the second Adam. Have you read that? So that he could live a human life on earth in total communion and in total obedience to God as a man, right? To be tested with all the temptations that we are, yet not to succumb, to never sin, to always obey the will of God. Could Jesus have sinned? Yeah. Had to write a paper on that in Bible college. Could Jesus have sinned? Yeah. He had to be tempted in every way as we are. So the answer is yes, he could have sinned. But if he did, he could not have fulfilled the purpose of his coming to be the Messiah, the Savior. In order to be our Savior, Jesus had to overcome. Amen? Listen, the purpose of his coming was to overcome. Oh, that's a great place for an amen. The purpose of his coming was to overcome. Listen to this verse in the book of Hebrews. By the way, Hebrews is a great book to read about that topic of Jesus laying aside his divinity, his power as God, to become fully man and to be our faithful high priest and to offer himself then that perfect sacrifice. In the book of Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 7, it says, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard, it says, because of his reverent submission. It says, although he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And once made perfect, then he became the source of eternal salvation for all who would obey him. Amen? Ha! So, Jesus operated in this earth, on this earth, as a man, but a man that was filled with the Holy Spirit. In fact, the scriptures tell us that he was given the Spirit without measure, the fullness of God's Spirit. Can you imagine just a complete open wide pipeline, right? The fullness of God's Spirit. And it is by God's Spirit that he overcame. So you remember the baptism of John at the Jordan River? And how John was given the sign that the one whom you see, the Spirit of God descending upon, he is the Messiah. Yeah, how Jesus didn't need a baptism of repentance, but in order to have that confirmation of God's Spirit, the fullness of God's Spirit, and John bearing witness to it, right? Jesus himself heard the voice from heaven, right? What did the voice say, church? This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Then what happened? Then what happened? Immediately he was led, some translations say driven, by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. 40 days fasting, right? Overcoming. Look at our text today. One verse. How do you like that? One verse for a text. Luke chapter 4 and turn to verse 14. I might read a little bit more, but this is our text for today. We're going to pick it up now. Imagine this. Jesus has just overcame the devil's temptations in the wilderness. And in verse 14, Luke 4 verse 14, it says, Jesus returned to Galilee, read it with me, in the power of the Spirit. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. Huh. It's great because, you know, after returning, he really began his public ministry. He began preaching in the synagogues. He began preaching with authority. They were amazed at his teaching because his message had authority. He began to deliver people from evil spirits. They cried out to him, and he told them to be quiet because he was not yet ready to reveal that he was the Son of God. But the scriptures say, with authority and power, he operated that authority and power of the Holy Spirit that filled him. Amen? Luke chapter 4 and verse 14, Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. It was the power of the Spirit that enabled him to overcome the temptations in the wilderness, right? The devil threw at him his best, the kind of temptations that always worked before did not work on our Lord. Same temptations that are given to us. You know, testings, trials, are a normal part of the Christian life. Have you noticed that? They are part of God's curriculum for you. Huh? Yeah. He puts difficult choices in front of you so that you learn to trust and follow him. Amen? So that your faith is strengthened. And then you can be an example of that victory that you share with others. Right? The trials of life. You know, it's a wonderful thing to be on the mountaintop with God. And honestly, you know, we have mountaintop experiences even as we gather in corporate worship and we feel God's presence and his Spirit moves in us. But those mountaintop experiences are to fill us and prepare us for real life. Amen? Because we can't stay here forever, nor are we intended to. Right? Sooner or later, we got to get down off the mountaintop and into the valley of trouble because that's where we live. That's where we live. That's where life must be lived. That's where we face our problems. That's where we learn to trust in God. That's where we learn to operate in the power of the Spirit or not. Or not. Yeah. I don't know about you, but I don't want too many more or nots, right? I want to learn how to operate in the power of God's Spirit. I've lived long enough to know that I can't do life on my own, that I need his power, right? Especially need his power to truly do his will. Boy, I've been doing just a lot of soul searching lately, and you know, I once again am at that place where I don't want to stay where I'm at, you know? I believe God stirs up a holy discontent in us when he wants to do something in us that enables us to do something in the world. Amen? You know, in the wilderness, Satan tried to lure Jesus away from his mission. There's no doubt. If he would have succumbed, he would have failed. But he refused all the allures, the temptations of the enemy. Well, the scriptures say the same thing is true for us. Resist the devil and he will flee from you, the scriptures say, right? Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. In our lives, we must realize that it's in the drawing near to God, the opening up to God, that we are filled with more of his Spirit, the power of his Spirit, right? I don't know how many of you have really thought about, studied, sought out the fullness of God's Spirit. But really, you know, it's a very interesting thing. I was talking to a person this last week that asked me, you know, that just came right out and asked me, do you believe that there's more of God's Spirit that you receive just upon salvation? And I said, yes. Yes, I believe that every person, whenever they are saved, whenever they believe in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of their sins, whenever they have confessed Jesus as their Savior, whenever they have turned to him, repenting from sins, turning and asking for forgiveness, that Jesus does apply the blood that was shed for us to cleanse us and to enable us to receive the Holy Spirit, which we do upon our salvation. But is that the end of it? No. No, indeed. As I said to my new friend, there's more. In fact, the scriptures are replete with examples of the infilling of God's Spirit. How even those that were chosen for ministry were noted to be full of God's Spirit. Don't you want to be known to be full of God's Spirit? In the Word, there's people that are full of a whole lot of other things. We want to be people who are filled with God's Spirit, huh? Yeah. It's interesting, though, you know, to be filled with God's Spirit, what does it really mean? I'm not sure that it means that we have more of the Spirit, but I know this. I know it means that the Spirit has more of us. Will that work for you? It works for me, that the Spirit has more of us. So the issue really is just that yielding, that desiring, that seeking, that wanting more of Him, and that willingness, right? The issue is always willingness when it comes to God. Have you figured that out? He doesn't force or coerce, but boy, He loves a willing heart. God is all over a willing heart. Man, Lord, give me a willing heart, right? Give me a willing and obedient spirit, right? That's what we want. But the issue is also keeping in connection with the Spirit of God that's in you. The issue of connection with Him. Jesus told us, abide in me, right? Abide in me. This one book F.B. Myers wrote, he explained the Spirit's filling in this way. He said that most people think that the Holy Spirit is like a substance to fill us, like gas filling up a tank. So we run out of the Spirit and God fills us again. And I got to admit, that's kind of how I have looked at the filling of God's Spirit before, because it seems like I got a hole in my tank sometimes, right? I need filled again. And it's very scriptural to be filled again. Indeed, the command is to be continuously filled with God's Spirit, right? But he said, I don't believe that's the best illustration, image for us to use, F.B. Meyer. He said, think about the elevated trains that you find in many large cities. He said, those trains run on three rails, two for the wheels and one for the electricity. He said, the electricity is always there, but the train doesn't move unless there's contact with the third rail. Ooh. Touch that rail, he said, the train moves. Pull away from the rail, and it stops. And he said, the third rail is like the Holy Spirit. Ooh, I like that. I like that. You see, the issue is contact, right? Connection with the Holy Spirit through our willingness, through our wantingness, for that filling, that power, right? Yeah. He said the filling of the Holy Spirit is the state that we can get ourselves in that willingness and wantingness, where the Holy Spirit, listen to this, is free to do all that He desires to do in our lives. Now, there is a question, you know, am I putting myself in position to say to the Holy Spirit, you are free to do all that you desire to do in my life? That has to do with willingness, right? And wantingness. But until we recognize, we will never be the people God wants us to be. If we don't learn to be filled with God's Spirit, if we don't learn to live in the power of the Spirit, if we don't keep ourselves in connection with that power, we will never be the people of God. We will never accomplish the purposes that God has for our lives. Amen? I am way tired of the preaching that Christianity is just about me, when I know that from the very beginning, God made it clear, right? And you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, right? The power is always about being the witness of God for others to see. Now, don't get me wrong. In order to be God's witness, that power needs to first work in you, amen? Oh, yeah. That you become a testimony. Like we heard last week, good word last week, that our test becomes a testimony, right? Ooh, I chewed on that. That our test becomes a testimony by the power of the Spirit. Yeah. The way to seek the power of the Holy Spirit is to be willing to obey Him even before you feel that power. You know, to ask ourselves the question, like I've been asking myself, have I resisted the offer of the Spirit's power for being His witness so often that it is now being withheld from me? Ooh. Has the voice of the Spirit in the past prompted me to do something that I was not willing to do? I mean, how about for you? Has He prompted you to write a letter, make a phone call, pay a visit, give a word? You know, it's a wonderful thing to actually be obedient to the voice of God. I really believe that Jesus came out of the wilderness in the power of the Spirit because that man, he was jazzed up because he knew he overcame. Amen? That same kind of overwhelming, incredible power surging through you also happens in you whenever you have been willing and obedient. You've obeyed something He's told you to. There's nothing like it. There's nothing like that feeling that you know you've heard, right? And you've obeyed. And when you do, man, that's when you feel you are in the power of the Spirit. Amen? But resisting the Holy Spirit is possible. You know, the issue is that He doesn't, when He fills us, He doesn't make us just like puppets that He moves and manipulates, right? He's there, but He always waits for our willingness and wantingness to call upon Him that power may flow through us into our lives to others. Yeah. I like it when I read the story about Jesus commissioning the disciples. You know, and first the 12 and then the 72, you remember? And how they went out, right? Because they went out under the power and the authority that Jesus had given them. And they were doing the very things He told them to do. And do you know what happened when they returned? They were the most joyful people in the world. I mean, they were just bouncing back into, you know, the place where Jesus was. Jesus! With joy, it says, they were saying to Jesus, man, in the power of Your name, we saw demons come out of people. And Jesus smiled at them. Can you imagine that kind of smile that He gives to you too when you're obedient to doing something He wants you to do? And you know what He said to them? I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. You know, the thing is that Satan only has the power that we give him. Have you learned that? You know, when you obey, he's out of here. It's in the act of disobedience that he gains a foothold into your life. But just like Jesus, resisting the temptation, obeying God, the devil left, right? Resist and he will flee. Obey and the power will flow. Paul would write in the book of Ephesians that power that works inside of us is the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, immeasurably more than we could even comprehend, that power that is available to us whenever we are willing and obedient to God's Spirit. Whenever we study the life of Jesus Christ, I don't want you to make the mistake of thinking that Jesus did all he did when he was on earth because he was God. Oh, he was God, all right. But Jesus took off that power as God and laid it aside and did all that he did upon the earth because of his willing obedience to God and him being an open pipeline that the power of God's Spirit could flow through. You know, don't ever fall into that excuse of saying, well, Jesus did it, but that was him. He was Jesus. Because he came and lived like you do so that he could demonstrate the possibilities of living a life in the power of the Spirit when you are sensitive, willing, and obedient. Huh? Yeah. Christianity is the greatest force on earth. Yet, the versions that we see sometimes are way watered down. And sometimes worse than just watered down. Why? Well, it's because people think that the Holy Spirit is like Broclean cream. A little dabble, do you? People live as nominal Christians, right? Because they aren't willing to do what it takes to actually live in the fullness of His power. Now that's a word. That's a word. What God wants to do in the earth today is going to require Christians who are willing and wanting to live in the fullness of the power of God's Spirit, who have the courage to obey even when it's not easy, who have a heart that Jesus is working in, and as He's working in it, you're feeling the conviction. You're feeling that spirit of discontent. I don't want to stay where I am. The feeling that you're not yet accomplishing the purpose that God has for your life. The feeling that you could be doing more. Or, probably better said, that God could be doing more through you. Huh? Yeah. Do you know what God can do with a willing vessel? Wow. That's really what He desires, just a willing vessel that comes to Him and says, okay, Lord, here I am. You made me, You saved me, You filled me. Now use me. I really believe that when we're willing to be used by God, that pipeline of God's Spirit opens wide. I believe that's why sometimes even in our world today, some of the greatest miracles are still being done in the mission field. When people are putting it all at stake to share the good news of Jesus Christ with others because they know it's true. And they know they don't want anybody to live without it. Do you? How can we have such a great salvation and not be willing to say to God, please make me a witness to Your goodness, to Your greatness, to Your power, to Your love, to Your compassion, to the saving grace that You offer, to the love that fights for us every day. Wow. As we were worshiping, what a powerful image I had, you know? How many times have I sung that song before? Fights for us, right? The reckless love of God But today, I could literally see Jesus doing spiritual battle in those times in my life when I'm tempted to do what's wrong rather than what's right, or I'm tempted to do what's easy rather than be obedient to God's Spirit. How He fights for us. Because He knows how jazzed up we will be once we're willing to be obedient. And we see that us, even me, can be used by God. There's no greater joy in all of our life to be a willing vessel of God and then watch Him work through us in our lives. But thinking about credentials lately, you know, credentials and degrees and you know, I really love to study, you know that, and I really appreciate the effort of obtaining even advanced degrees. But you know, the bottom line is this: the only degree that you ever need to be used by God, the only one, is the willingness degree. It's the only one. And that one, God says, I'll confer upon you if, listen to this, you ready? If you're willing to be willing. Did you get that? If you're willing to be willing, He even meets you there to show you what it's like to live in the power of His Spirit. We're going to end this morning, and I'm going to ask the worship team, are they still around? Yeah. Tyler, to do that song, Spirit of the Living God, fall afresh. What was that one that you did this morning? Blow through the caverns of my soul, right? We're going to end with that song today, and I pray today that the Spirit of God just speaks to your spirit, opens the eyes of your heart to realize that He is very willing to open that pipeline of His Spirit and fill you with more, and fill you with the power to operate, not in your own strength, but in the strength of God to be His witnesses. Amen? Spirit of the Living God, fall afresh on me. I want to challenge you today as we close. In prayer before the service offered, I heard a young man praying, and he said, Lord, don't let us leave this place today the same. Don't let us leave this place the same. Do something in us. And you know, I really believe that was a prophetic word, that was a word for us. That He wants each one of us to be filled and know it. To leave this place today energized by His power. To be given a word and a vision and a revelation of what it's like to live in the power of the Spirit and be used by God. And how it comes simply by your willingness. Would you stand with me in worship?